Blog Talk Radio.
And as I was studying this morning, the word that God gave me was, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. We have gotten to that point where people don't fear God anymore. It's my way, my this, my that, my. Where's God in it? Where's God in the my? I can, I did, I is the absolute I am. And he does not need our help. The only thing he needs from us is loyalty, love, and knowledge that there is only one God. And he created it all. As we've had in our word, he created everything. Everything. But yet, we follow a young man on Facebook, especially on Twitter. I don't do a lot of Facebook. Facebook normally is used to tell people when we blog and for them to be able to hook in. I'm not a Facebook person. I just, it does something to my soul because there's so much negativity and folks trolling just to see who they can mess with instead of lifting up. It's a whole lot of tearing down and lies and distortions on Facebook. So I'm not a big Facebook person. I'm not a big Instagram person either. But I do tweet and I follow LinkedIn more than I do Facebook. But I just wanted to say, you know, this young man put a history lesson out there on Haiti, because as we look at our borders and see Haitians trying to get into America, I hear people having hissy fits about it. You know, why should we let them in? Why should we do this? Why? Because they are our brothers and sisters. They have nothing. And I say to my brothers and sisters in America, and if you look up and see Canada or South, let's just say a devastating hurricane as bad as Katrina that devastated. And while that hurricane was happening on the coastline, the mega earthquake was happening on the interior. I happen to live in a state, the mega fault line, to the point where it caused a river to flow in a different direction. And let's just say in another part of the country, a volcano went off, devastating our nation. But we go to the Canadian border, especially the brothers and sisters that live in Maine, that live in Michigan, that live in Washington State, where the volcano went off. But they're trying to get to Canada, and Canada said, sorry, we're not taking any Americans today. Goodbye. We don't want you here. We try to go to Cuba. And Cuba says, sorry, Florida, we don't want you here. Take your boats and go back to the devastated America. And Mexico says, nah, we don't want y'all coming over here. We're good. You didn't want us when we wanted to come, so we don't want you. You want to come. Understand what goes around comes around. We are good right now. But did you stop to think that maybe we're good because God did it for us? Because we have a spirit of hospitality. Understand. You know, many folks read the book in Genesis and about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, and they think it's all about homosexuality. It's about hospitality. They were not hospitable. They wanted to molest and rape their guests. They wanted to be abominations and not be hospitable. And I say to you today, my brothers and sisters, let us not become Sodom and Gomorrah and destroyed by God because we were inhospitable. We got more empty land than any place in the world practically, and yet we are whining and complaining about someone who's been devastated. Not to be able to come in when they have nowhere to go. Ireland is devastated from hurricanes to earthquakes. They have, and assassinations. Have nothing. And let's call it straight. They would be doing pretty good. They're still recovering from the $21 billion that they had to pay France. Because they were the first slaves to revolt and say, we will not be under your yoke anymore. Get off this island, owners. And then the world said, I'm sorry, you got to pay them because you're no longer their free labor. We got to read some books sometimes. My oldest son is named after the lieutenant, the general. His middle name is Toussaint because this man stood up and fought power. Yes, he died in a French prison because somebody he trusted lied to him. And he fell for a trap. He was trying to do what was right, to make peace. Read books, family, before you start falling into the trap of, we don't need anybody here, we can't take care of our own, when there's posters everywhere for jobs. People are to hire. But we have gotten so too good to work at a McDonald's. I'm too good to work at a Burger King. I'm too good to work in healthcare. I'm too good to do this. I'm too good to do that. But I'm going to accept unemployment. Understand get into our word today in Proverbs. We got to go to work as men and women of God, and we got to help those that are in need. We cannot keep allowing our government to treat immigrants as if they're nothing and dirt, and we got to stop it. Just remember this. Savior was an immigrant. Our Savior was a refugee. Our Savior had to leave and go into Egypt to keep, save his parents, took him to Egypt to keep him safe from Herod, who wanted to murder him as a little child. But said, nope, sorry, Joseph, you and Mary and this baby, y'all can't come here. Go on back and die. But we have the greatest story ever told. We don't know that maybe this Haitian child may save the world one day. So I just say, before you get into the discussion of immigration and how horrible this is and that is, and how we can't do this and we can't do that, put yourself in their shoes. We have a whole lot of coastlines. We have a whole lot of fault lines. And we have volcanoes. And how would we feel? Us. So I'm saying, Father God in heaven, I thank you for this word this morning. And I ask you, Lord God, to lift up your children who are suffering from the devastating losses of life and land. Father God, we ask you to help us give hope and a future to those that are in need. Let us be the home of the brave and the land of the free. Father God, I ask you to guide people of faith, people of God who are of the way, to remember the truth, which is Jesus Christ, the light, which is Jesus Christ. And that no one can come to you but through him. The heart of love and charity and goodness and kindness. Help us to be hospitable to those that are in need. And not worry about he's from this place or that place. Need is need. Hope in a future, Father God. We ask you to remove the of slavery from this nation, of bigotry from this nation, and racism from this nation. For a house divided against itself will not stand. I love my country. I love you. And I ask you, Lord, show us what to do as church bodies to help the needy, to help those that are in need of you, to preach and teach your word that someone will be saved and that our hearts will be unhardened. Lord God, I am grateful, I'm thankful, and I'm blessed to live where I live, that I can open your word and I can speak what you give me to speak. I lift up today those around the world who are suffering. And I lift up our children in America who are suffering. And I lift up our brothers and sisters who have fought for this nation. And our veterans who are broken and homeless. I lift them up today, Lord God, asking you to put a hedge of protection around them. And for our government,
unemployed, one veteran without a home, one veteran without health care and hope in a future. Father God, I lift up those that serve today, the life of this nation, who volunteered to fight for this nation. I pray, Father God, for all of our soldiers and those that serve. And as I lift up our veterans today, Lord, I lift up our pastors who are fighting the fight of faith, who are fighting in church bodies that want to make them into political entities. Father God, I pray for pastors to be strong and to say no to the word of God. For God is neither blue or red. He is the author and the finisher of everything. And wherever God's word leans, that's the word of God. To take care of each other is God's word. To be kind to the widow and the orphans and the poor, strangers, with hospitality, and aliens, it even says aliens. Father God, your word says that we should treat others as we want to be treated. So Father God, I lift up pastors today, having to teach words to hard-hearted people. Keep them covered under the blood of God, for they are under attack when they want to stand up for right. The Gaetians leave because they don't want to be political. They want to stand on the word of God. So I pray for pastor strength today, Lord God. Pastors that lift up, pastors that look up, pastors that pray and teach the word. In Jesus' name I pray, believing and trusting, Lord God, that you will increase as I decrease. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart, Lord God, that they will be acceptable in your sight, Father God. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. You are my dad and I am grateful to be your child. Again, in the name of the matchless Savior, Jesus Christ, my Savior, my friend, I pray. Amen. This is the word of God, and we are coming this morning out of the book of Isaiah chapter 49 and Isaiah 50 up to verse 11. Our title word is coming out of Psalms 112 today, and we also will be coming out of Proverbs chapter 26 verse 13 through 15, and we will be starting a new book today, Ephesians chapter 1. God willing, we'll get through all of our word this morning. Again, I thank you, but I say what God gives me in my heart to say. He gives me stuff. He shows me stuff, and he says, this is what you need to do, because we forget to praise God. Because I fear God. I love and I hold him in regard. And I don't want God to be thanking me because of how I treat somebody else. So just keep that in your heart today. And this is what the word of God says. Listen, O coastlands, to me and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the matrix of my mother. He has made mention of my name, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his land, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. And he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God.
And now the Lord said, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him? For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to rise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to whom the him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, so shall worship because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. You know, I love the book of Isaiah because it talks about Jesus. It lets us know the Lord God, our Savior, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says this, thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourself. Feed along the roads, and their pasture shall be on all desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. But he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of water, he will guide them. I will make each of my mountains a road, and my highways shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, those from the north and the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. Did you hear that? Let's read that one more time. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your sons shall make haste. Your destroyer and those who laid you waste shall go away from you. Lift up your eyes. Look around and see. All these gather together and come to you. As I live, says the Lord, you shall surely clothe yourselves with them all as an ornament and bind them on you as a bride does. But your waste and desolate places and the land of your destruction will even now be too small for the inhabitants, and those who swallowed you up will be far away. The children you will have after you have lost the others will say again in your ear, the place is too small for me. Give me a place where I may dwell. And you will say in your heart, who has begotten these for me? Since I have lost my children and am desolate, a captive and a wandering to and fro, and who has brought these up? There I was left alone. But these, where are they? Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift my hand in an oath to the nations and set up my standard for the peoples. They shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. Kings shall be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. They shall bow down to you with the face of your feet.
then you will know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed who wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the captives of the righteous be delivered? But thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible by be delivered. For I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. I will feed those who oppress you with their own flesh, and they shall be drunk with their own blood as with sweet wine. All flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Not us. And I tell you this. What did he say? I will feed those who oppress you with their own flesh, and they shall be drunk with their own blood as with sweet wine. All flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. The Father has taken us out of bondage, and we need to be free. Act like you're free. Know who your daddy is. God will not allow his people to be oppressed forever. But the Lord God is in charge of everything. And the word of God from Dr. Stanley in this life lesson is this: I will not forget you. God loves you more than any mother has ever loved her own son or daughter. Everything he does in your life, he does out of love for love's sake. He allows even the hard times for your benefit. We all go through. We all have situations. But I tell you this, keep trusting in God, and he will bring you through. He will get you through any situation you have. He will get you through. When you think that you're at your last, God will come through to help you in God. But make sure that you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Give water. Give food, give clothing, give whatever you can to those that are in need. God loves a cheerful giver. Pay your tithes, give your time, give your tenth to God. Whatever you can do for God, do it. Joyful heart. Because he says that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. First chapter 50 of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, where is the certificate of your mother's divorce, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? For your iniquities you have sold yourselves, and for your transgressions your mother has been put away. Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Indeed, with my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink because there is no water, and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with darkness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Hallelujah. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me, Who will contend with me? Let us come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. I don't want hell to have my name in it. I want to walk with God. I want to walk in the light. I don't want to spend eternity on fire because I don't like heat like that. So we better understand we got to do right and be right. And we want to be able to walk through that narrow gate. Come on now. We got to do what God says do. We got to praise the Lord and fear him. Isaiah 50:7, life lesson. I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. If you know and feel certain that God is for you, then you too can set your face like a flint and be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. And while we have a quick minute, we're going to run over. I need you to grab your Bible, y'all, because this is Bible study. And we're going to go. We're going to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which we have read. Verse 58. Last verse in the word. And it says this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And if we go back up, you know, it's our final victory. That's what that whole word is about. And we're going to hit verse 50 all the way back down to 58. And it says this, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be arisen incorruptible, and we shall be changed. But this mortal must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then victory be brought to pass, the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. I'm going to say that again. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What a word. Woo! That is a word by itself. And then Isaiah 50:10, who walks in darkness and has no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. All of us, Dr. Stanley says, that's part of life in a fallen world. But we do not have to grope blindly as those without hope. We trust God in the dark, take his hand, and go where he leads. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. And as our word today says in Psalms 112:1-4, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. That's our title for this morning. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Until the upright there arises light in the darkness, he is passion and righteous. You have some that just want to hear about the riches of the house and all of that, but they forget he is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. All the money in the world is not going with you when you die. All the stuff in the world is not going with you when you die. All your mess will have to be cleaned up when you die by whoever is left behind. It's time for us to think on those things. And I said it on yesterday, put it in my heart to say it again. My brothers and my sisters, if you do not have life insurance, get it. Get a burial policy if you don't get anything else. No family member should have to go and put out a GoFundMe for your funeral. Nobody. Leave something for your children, so that they will not be left with nothing. Whatever you can do, do what's right. Don't leave your family out there hanging without being able to bury you. And I can tell you, funerals are not cheap. You need to get at least a burial policy. Don't know why God told me to say that, but whoever it's for, get life insurance. Not for you, but for your children, for your family. Because you'll be gone. But they're the ones that have to put you away to your resting place until the Savior comes. And this is a word for a lot of folks these days that think that the government is going to keep giving them an unemployment check. They will not. If you quit, you don't get it. If you're fired, you don't get it. The only way you get unemployment is if you are laid off because your company is downsizing or because you are at will and they don't need you anymore or your job was eliminated. Folks think they can just quit a job and go hop on unemployment. It don't work like that. And believe me, on the once in my 50 years of working, once, and I hated it. It was horrible. I don't ever want to be unemployed unless it's by choice ever again. So I tell you this, it is not roses and honey and a check coming in. It's work. And this is what the Word of God says, and that's what we got to keep in mind as we go through life. A lazy man says, there is a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the street. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his head in the bowl, is weary him to bring it back to his mouth. Too lazy to eat. Come on now. Just want to roll around in the bed, sleep. That's not a God. God wants us to get up and go to work. And it's time for all of us as men and women of God to go to work because we work for God. We got to get out of the lazy and go to work. And the work is salvation, walking in light, not in darkness, doing what thus says the Lord. Pray, 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 and pray some more. Because prayer changes circumstances. I believe that. And God will send you where you need to go to be prayed for. The Holy Spirit is in us, and he wants to light up the world. And the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us acceptable in the beloved. Can y'all say with me, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. And as Paul goes on to say, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he, all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Not my will, not your will, but God's will, Jesus' will, from the will of the Holy Spirit. We got to listen. And it says that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Saying it again. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Say, thank you, Lord, I'm sealed of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Again, prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer is that thing that we must do. We got to push. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And I'm going to read it again, because we got the body of Christ acting ugly, acting, and we got to stop it. We are not just an eye. We are not just a hand. We are part of the body of Christ, and he is the head. And if we each do our assignment, what a body will be. This is what it says, and he put all things under his feet, not mine, not yours, but the body of Christ. We are his, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, his body, and the fullness of him who fills all in all. We all have an assignment. Are you doing yours? If you are the shepherd, are you shepherding all your people, all your flock? If you are an evangelist, are you evangelizing and bringing those to Christ that needs to know the word? If you are a teacher, preacher, are you teaching and preaching the word of God? Are you reading his word? Because God's word can preach itself. God's word can teach itself. All you got to do is be the mouth to read it to somebody. Do our assignment within the body. We got to get out of self and get into God. And the word that Dr. Stanley has given us this morning before we get out of here is this, in Life Lessons, Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And I say it again, praise the Lord. God is not stingy when it comes to bestowing his blessings on his much-loved children. He has already given us every spiritual blessing, securing them for us in heaven where none can be stolen, damaged, or kept back. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. Know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And the word that Dr. Stanley gave us is this. There is a big difference between having the blessings of God and enjoying them. We move from our former to the latter by learning what those blessings are and then laying hold of them by faith. That word, faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We got to have faith, and we got to praise the Lord. Ephesians 1:19, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. There's that word, believe. We got to have belief. We got to believe in something other than ourselves. We got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he went to Calvary's cross and died for you and for me, that he took our wretched, that we may be set free by his love and grace and mercy, by his goodness and his kindness. And it goes on to say, this is what Dr. Stanley said, the disciples continually marveled at the overwhelming, powerful miracles that the Lord performed. The same power is available to us by faith through the Spirit. In a life, it says this, what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit in us. This is from Dr. Stanley. And this is what he says, and we're going to go over to Ephesians chapter 4. As we get to this word, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. And I'll give you the verses as Dr. Stanley gives them to me. And it says this, in Ephesians chapter 1, 13, 14 tells us, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. But did you know that we can short-circuit the effective work of the Holy Spirit in our lives by grieving him? Paul wrote, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 30, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And it's grieving the Holy Spirit. And if God permits us time, I'll give you that whole word so we get it in context. It says, how do we grieve the Holy Spirit? We grieve him when we disobey God's commandments and when we choose to act in unrighteous ways. In other words, we displease the Lord when we know what to do and then choose to do the opposite. The Ephesians knew very well that it was not godly to lie, steal, remain angry with one another, or speak cutting, hurting words to each other. They knew that such evil things give place to the devil. Paul lived and ministered among the Ephesians for 2 years, and his ministry had a powerful impact on the entire city of Ephesus. And yet Paul had to remind the Christians not to do the things common among the non-Christians. It was as if he had to go back to square one with them. When the Ephesians broke the most obvious of God's commandments, they caused sorrow in the Holy Spirit that your ungodly behavior breaks the heart of God. The Holy Spirit is grieved not only because our conduct tarnishes God's good name, but also because he loves us and deeply desires to reward us, bless us, and see good fruit produced in and through us, not discipline us. He knows that sin injures us and saddles our lives with negative consequences. When we know that our loved ones do things that harm them, we feel grieved, so does he. So how can we avoid grieving the Holy Spirit? We can choose to keep God's commandments and to lead a disciplined life by depending on the power of the Spirit. When we sin, we confess the sin immediately and repent of it, changing our mind and our behavior to conform to God's word. As we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and help us every day, we gain his help to enjoy a successful Christian walk. He keeps our footing sure. And we're going to go over to Ephesians chapter 4, which we'll be getting to again. It's a word that, you know, when we praise God, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And this is what it says, do not grieve the Spirit. And it says, this is what Paul said to the Ephesians. And again, I know we'll be getting to chapter 4 probably this weekend. And it says this, therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has none. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Again, family, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. We got to do what God says do. And one of the things that God wants us to do is love each other. That is our word for this morning. I am grateful. I am thankful for this mighty word of God. And I thank all of you who are listening in live or later. God's word is so true. And all we have to do is believe it, stand on it, and know that God is in charge. So thank you so much, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And as always, before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ. And the word for this morning is this, good morning. God hears every unspoken word, sees every unseen wound, mends every unbearable pain. Have faith and be strong. God's got you. Have a wonderful Wednesday, family. And I would like for all of you to please keep our sister in Christ in your prayers as she travels this weekend to a baby shower for her new grandbaby. I just happen to like to call her Angel Baby because she is a miracle from God. And so I thank you all. And again, keep God first in all that you do. Praise the Lord all through your day and watch him work in your life. So keep God first and forgive and let go of all those things that have you all bound up. You got to let loose and give it all to God. And as we let loose, we do it in prayer. Pray until something happens, family. Push that have you all bound up. Let God use you. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a wonderful Wednesday, knowing that God's got you covered. Be blessed. It is a wrap. Thank you again for listening in. And please join me, God willing, tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. Thank you and be blessed. It's a wrap.